Mansion Robin Crown. Amen. Please reserve a mansion, a robe, and a crown. Truly thank God for His goodness, for His mercy, for His grace. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? I don't care what situation you think you would be in, you'd be worse. Because if it had not been for God, we wouldn't be where we are right now. Too many times we say, I wonder where would I be if I wasn't in church? You'd be worse. Because God makes the difference. See, when you understand what God has done and you understand how bad it can be in life, you will realize that being in Christ is special. Gives you focus. Gives you hope. Give you earnest prayer. Give you something to focus on, something to keep your mind on. And that is spending all eternity with the great God of heaven. So if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? You know, many times when you read your Bible, you will find out that there are some things you see in the Bible that are noteworthy. Noteworthy. One of the things that's noteworthy in God's word is that actually in God's word, you know how we like to sit down when we're reading God's word? If you read your Bible, see, you ain't know why when the judge come in the courtroom you got to stand up, did you? You didn't know why when a dignitary comes in the room you stand up. It's because it was a show or a sign of honor to the dignitary, or honor to the judiciary, or honor to those in charge. Because to stand up is easy, because it's easier to sit down than it is to stand up costs you something. Do you know back in the reading of the word, if you read your Bible, you'll find out when Joshua or Moses will read the Bible, the people stood for the reading of God's word. And they weren't reading no two verses. They weren't reading just one chapter. They were reading as long as God told them to read. And the people would just stand there and glorify God. And some, they say, would have their palms wide open. You know, sometimes we say, you can't raise your hand. We're in the Bible. They will open their palms wide open to the great God of heaven. So you'll be surprised when you read God's word, what's actually in God's word, and the posture of the people of God's word that seemed, when I read the text, please God. That he kind of, he looked like he, it's like singing. See, sometimes we come, we don't feel like singing. Y'all come on, we don't feel like singing sometimes. I ain't in a singing mood today. But it is something about singing before the throne of God that even before a puny, infinite man or finite man would do it, God had angels dedicated to singing. In fact, the Bible said he had also cherubims and serpents, according to the book of Revelation chapter 20, that all they did was say, holy, holy, holy to the Lamb that sits on the throne, to the Lamb that was saved. That's all they do, is tell God how holy he is. Well, you think they got tired of that? Just saying, God, you so holy. You're so righteous. You're so awesome. You're so powerful. You're so majestic. You're so glorious. You're so omnipresent. You're so broad. You're so sovereign. They never got tired of that. Because God is so awesome that God can do anything that will blow you. God can blow our mind every hour. If he choose to, he can do stuff that will literally blow your mind. In fact, I think he can blow our mind so much we lose our mind. That's our God. See, I want to start off by saying that don't be afraid. Don't be upset. We stood up and sat down and stood up and stood down. And I ain't had no problem with that. If it's for my God, I'll stand up and sit down 10 times. For my God. Because if that's what happens, then that's what happens. You know, sometimes when the person praying, you know what happens when they pray more than 5 minutes? Back here's the closing prayer. You know, we get edgy. It don't matter how well the prayer is. We get like, all right, that's been 5 minutes. You know, you come on, you finish. Come on. Oh, my goodness. 7 minutes. Oh, my goodness. Who is this guy? Some of you even would say, don't put him up there no more. No matter what he's saying, no matter he's trying to tell God to help us, because we're about to go out into a devil's world. We're about to go out into wickedness. We're about to go out into sin. We're about to go out into conflict. We're about to go out into horror. We're about to go out into darkness.
Amen. Yeah, bro. Amen. Tell it.
But our minds, our misunderstanding, our not knowing what we are really dealing with, can cause us sometime to lose perspective. And I ain't just talking about you. Sometimes I do the same thing, but I know better. I get my mind right. I say, shut up. Pray, prayer warrior, pray. Your mind start wandering. Get back here, mind. We're talking to the Father. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That means we can control ourselves. We can do a lot of stuff. We ain't like children got to run to the bathroom every 5 minutes. Good morning. Good to have you here. Welcome to the East Baltimore Church of Christ. Here we believe and know that the Bible is right, that it cannot be wrong. That's why we try, and we want to try every day to have a quiet time with God, to get into his word so he can open our eyes up to things that we may not have seen in his word. There's a lot of stuff we haven't seen in his word. I know we think we know it all, but we don't know it all. In fact, you know a lot less than you think you know. I know a lot less than I think I know. Because God's word is so deep, it's so wide, it's so broad, it's so awesome. Until he can give you one word and have you talking about it for a week. Me and Brother Claiborne have been in debate all 2 weeks about one phrase, trying to work it out in our minds. He going to his commentary. I'm going to my commentary. He going to his lexicon. I'm going to my lexicon. He going to his Strong's Concordance. I'm going to my Strong Adams Concordance. Now we talk. What you think? We still ain't there yet. And the only thing we're really talking about is the characteristics of God as it relates to the manifestation of the soul, as it relates to the image of God.
Right.
And we've been days and days, weeks and weeks and weeks, week, week, and we can be weeks on it. Why? Because it's a deep God's word. Somebody said, what difference does it make? Well, if you're trying to be like God, it makes a difference.
Yeah.
Small things. We can take small things and do great things with it. Just a little change for Jesus in a bowl. Sister Cooper and the crew took it down to the bank last week, and they started putting the change into the bank machine, the change counter. They got up to $100, $200, $500, $700. $900, $2,200, $2,400, $2,500, $2,600, $2,700, $2,800, $2,900. $2,977 in change. And all we did was throw a little change every day we had it into a can or into a pot or into a jar and see how God grows it. Yes, ma'am. It was 3,000. Amen. Amen. That's right. She said, don't shortchange us now. 3,000. That's right. Somebody else went deep in the jar and found a corner that we didn't get there yet. But so don't tell me what we can't do. Don't tell us what God can't do for us. Don't limit yourself to your circumstances and your situations and the stuff you go thinking that's all it is to life. If it all it is to your life, then you are limiting yourself. So I want to thank God for that. Pray for the Hicks family. I've been working with them, and some of them are my kinfolk, and pray for them. Their mother passed. I got a call last night at 11 p.m., 10:30, 11 o'clock, saying she had just passed. And life is like that because all of the doctor's words were better, 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 boom. That's how life is. That's how life. Listen. The doctors can get a hint on what they think they see on the screen, but the real power is up there. The real power resides with the Almighty. And whatever date he has targeted you and I with, there is no medicine. There is no procedure. There is no surgery. There is no pill. There is no prescription you can take to hold on to this life. God will send a death angel and say, go get him. And an angel will come and say, let's go. And don't be talking about something. Wait a minute, I got to go get baptized for too late. Don't be talking about, wait a minute, I just got finished sinning. Too late. Time to go. And your soul will be ripped from that temple fleshly house. And then it is time to go meet Jesus. I said that to give you the title of my sermon this morning. The title of my sermon this morning, because this is evangelism season. The next 3 months, we'll be focusing on evangelism. And as I just gave you the illustration of that real life story that just happened to a family, and you're sitting here, and you're still trying to make a decision about which way you're going to go and what you're going to do. The title of my sermon is, does it take all of that to be saved? Does it take all of that? Does it take all of that? The reason I wanted to use that is because when you read your Bible, there were some that came to Christ rather quickly, but there were others who kind of, he had to do some special stuff just to get them to see that they needed their soul to be saved. And then there were others who came to him and say, I'm already saved. And he told them, you have not done everything. Go sell all that you had, he told that rich young ruler. Because he said, what must I do to have eternal life? I've done all the commandments. God said, no, you lack one. Go sell all you have. Give it to the poor, then come and follow me. And that was his hang up. That was his ceiling. That was the thing that was too much for him. I still say, what in the world would it take for you to obey the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? In Acts chapter number 16, we see here in Acts chapter number 16, and we look here in verse number, and let's look at 16:16. Even though it was ably read by Brother Keelan, verse 25 and 26, which read, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands was loose. We know ultimately that it got there. But first of all, we got to understand here how Paul and Silas got there for it to got there. Verse 16, it says, and when it came to pass, as we, Luke is writing this, Luke and Paul, Silas and their entourage, went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Meaning she was foretelling. It's like going to see Dionne Warwick in the psychic hotline, trying to know what's going to happen. It's like going to them places you see on the corner, Sister Faye. Sister Faye. Sister Faye, Cleo. You don't know who she is, okay. There are people who tell you they can tell you what's going to happen tomorrow who can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. All they tell you tomorrow is tomorrow you're going to find some money. You wake up and find a penny by your bed. Oh, she was right. Those type people. 17. And the same followed Paul. This woman followed Paul and us and cried saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which showeth unto us the way of salvation. So for this person who had the spirit of divination, she really had it. And she said, these men are from God. Verse 18, and this did she many days, but Paul being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Why was he grieved? He was grieved because what she was doing, though it looked right, was not of the Lord. Sometimes we think things look right. We say it's of God. When it's not of God. You hit the lottery for $1,000. Come on, some thank you, God. God don't play lotteries. No, no, you be honest with yourself and say, thank you, Lucifer. I'm just saying. I know God isn't in that business. So what happened here was, it said here in verse number 19, and when her master saw that their hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Watch this. And brought them unto the magistrate, that's the court, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. Whenever God's child try to do right, folk get upset. When you try to do right on your job, when you try to do right in your community, when you try to do right in your family, when you try to do right, folk gonna be upset because everybody ain't for right. Right. More folk is for what's best for them rather than what's right. So here, they did right by, no one said, thank you, apostles, you have delivered this woman from this demonic spirit. Nobody said that. These men just got mad because they said that their gain was gone. I mean, I can't make no more money off of her now. You in trouble. Then the text says here in verse number 21, and they teach customs that are not lawful for us to receive, neither observe, being Romans. Not true. The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they got beat. And we get scared when we get threatened to have our overtime taken away. We get scared when we get threatened to have to pay a late payment. We get scared when we get threatened on having something happen to us that's uncomfortable. You have your Bible on your desk at your job, and they say, move your Bible, or we're going to fire you, okay? And I'll never bring it back again. Come on. No. No. What you should say is, soon as everybody in here take their stuff that's not company property out of here, then I take my Bible out of here. I tell Ebony go and Jet go and Life go and all these other things go, my Bible stand. But you're scared. But isn't it true that you ain't supposed to have religion stuff in there? No, you're stretching. No. That is not true. But it's going to be true if you don't fight for Jesus, if you don't fight for the cause, if you don't fight back. Or stuff that's wrong is going to be true. The world will bully you. These apostles said we will not be bullied. We'd rather be beaten. Come So the Bible said here that they had laid many stripes on them in verse number 23. And that, listen, not, and it said many stripes. That means they got a whipping. And then after they got beaten, I know they were beating them and beating them and beating them and beating them. Then it says here, they cast him into the prison and told the jailer to keep them safely, who having received his charge, thrust them into the inner prison, put them in maximum. Big Macs. That's the deep part of the prison. That's the part of the prison where the rats hang out. That's where the mud and the dirt hang out. That's where the mud, the walls are all muddy and sticky and people with disease and stuff, because they've been there so long because they were considered to be the worst of the worst. That's where they're at. He said, put them back there into the innermost and make their feet fast in the stocks. Now in verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang. What they singing about? They just got beat. They had their freedom just taken away. They've been thrown into the worst part of the jail. What they singing about? When you got Jesus down here, then you will be able to see when the devil is at work, and you can sing to God for being counted worthy to have to go through this for his sake. When he deep down, we are so bold to say, I'll go through anything for Jesus. Brother song leader sang, I surrender all. But is it just a song? Or would you really, if it comes down to it, if this is what it is, do you stand up for Jesus? When that boss man said, put that Bible away or get out of here. Do you just put the Bible away real quick, or do you fight for the cause? Oh, it's quiet in here now. But Bible said, fight for, I can't lose my job. Just because somebody tell you that you can't have it or else you're going to lose your job, don't mean you don't fight for what's right. You go right down to human resources to her boss. And that's not to her boss. If not to the president of the company. If you have to the boss, you fight and you let them know. And when you fight, you let them know that I'm not saying that it's wrong for the rules to say that I can't have anything other than work property here. Okay, I'm good with that. But I'm letting you know they're not going to sit around with all that stuff. And you try to fight me on my stuff just because it makes somebody uncomfortable. That stuff make me uncomfortable. And I ain't just preaching this. I live this. My boss told me after giving talking like this, she said, okay, you can go back to work. That was it. She said, see, I can see you. I see you want to fight. And that's right. Some things worth fighting for. Watch this. See, God realized, I don't know how, that folk in this situation, this needed to happen. Because what I'm reading here, God takes bad stuff and work it out for good. Work it out for his glory. Stop being upset when you're in a bad place. It might be to God's glory. Oh, I think I said something there. Stop losing your mind when you're in a bad. Maybe God is trying to use this thing that he may get the glory and he may get the honor and you get the blessing at the end of it. And God don't have no timetable when he's going to work. The Bible said, what time he working in verse 25? In at midnight. At midnight. You know what that tells me? That tells me our God is a 24-7 God. That tells me they praying and singing to him at midnight. That tells me that God is up at midnight. He up at 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning. God never sleeps. And we got to be the type of people that's willing to call him no matter what, because we know stuff can happen at any time. All of us got some of our most heartbreaking phone calls, not in the daytime, but in the middle of the night. In fact, some of us are scared when the phone rings at 2:30 in the morning. Because you know your rule is don't call me after 10 o'clock except it's an emergency. So when it rings at 2:30, you get scared. You wake up, you don't even want to answer the phone. Phone goes, you're looking at it. Because you don't want to pick it up. Because in your mind, this can't be good news. But I tell you this. It may not be good news, but it might be the thing that's going to give you a good blessing.
Right.
It might be this thing that's going to start you on a road to a higher place in Jesus. Watch the text. Midnight, they sang praise, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I like to stop right there. Sometimes you do stuff in secret. But there's some stuff don't hide it. Some stuff don't hide it. When they told me not to have my Bible on my job, I was telling everybody who had ears, my Bible's staying. My Bible's staying. I'm talking to my Bible staying. They got this stuff, they got this stuff, they got stuff. My Bible's staying. Other folks start getting their Bibles out. They went and got their Bibles under the table. When they got their Bible, somebody, one girl said, I'm going to get my Bible out the car. I ain't say don't. I said, do what you want to do. I'm telling you, my Bible's staying. Why? Some things are worth other folks seeing. See, folk pick on us. The devil pick on us. Because the devil know it don't take much to shake our world. We got to be a people that when stuff happen, it just happened. It just happened. Let's move on. Let's see what happens next. Oh, brother, oh, man. Let's see, okay, bad stuff happened. Let's see what happened next. Let's see what happened next. Let's see, because I know there's a blessing somewhere because I'm a child of God. This sermon, I preached, not this, I'm fixing to change it around, but I preached in a city, and one part of the sermon, I told them that God can give you a blessing from anywhere. And I told him about the time I came. I went, I had the money, I was broken. I went to the mailbox and it was a check in there from the IRS for $300. Me and Brenda was happy. It was wonderful. I said, that's how God is. You ain't got nothing, but if you act right, he'll give you something. Right after I preached that sermon, the next day, I went to the mailbox. I wasn't going to the mailbox expecting nothing, but I went. Where my wife at? She got it right. We opened the mailbox. My wife came in the house and she said, you know that sermon you preached yesterday about that money in the mailbox? There's some more money in the mailbox. I said, what? I said, $300? She said, more. More. $600? She said, more, more. $900? More, more. It was close to $1,500 in the mailbox. I said, what? Where'd that come from? She remember years ago about how we got that letter, said it was going to add us to some class action suit. I said, vaguely. She said, well, it has arrived. You, see, that's why I give God. That's why I don't hold back from God. God, oh, he always does that for me. The more I give, the more I seem to give back. I just keep, that's why I keep giving, because he always give me. And see, God only do that for people who give without expecting nothing back. It ain't like a bank account I'm putting it in to get interest. No, you just give it. You can't be God-given no matter how you try. And he just always blessed me. Now, I ain't saying I'm preaching that again for months or for tomorrow. I'm going to let God do what he want to do tomorrow. Amen. But I'm just saying, That my God, these men just got beat. I know why they praising him. I know why they singing, and I know why they don't care if the prisoners hear him or not.
All right.
Because they know who they praying to and who they're praying to and singing to. 26. What is that, Claiborne?
And suddenly. There was a great earthquake.
Right there. Amen. Their singing and prayers provoked a response.
Amen.
From God Almighty. Amen. Their praying and their singing, just trusting God. Not know how they can get out of that inner prison. Not know how they can get back to the work. Not know how they're going to, what they're going to go through. They just pray and sing and let God do the rest. And suddenly, an earthquake will come. The Bible said here, earthquake. And what happened, Claiborne?
So that the foundation of the prison were shaken.
Listen, the earthquake, when God sends stuff, it's for a purpose. Whenever God do anything in your life, if you got now you might not know the purpose, and he don't have to tell you the purpose, but it's a purpose. I don't care what it is, it's a purpose. If you go home and you get sick Wednesday and Thursday and you can't go to work, it was a reason why you got sick. Oh, Lord have mercy. Why, Brother Mathia? Because we're not just ordinary people. We are those who are walking in the will and the purpose of God. Either we are peculiar people or we're not peculiar people. God said we're peculiar people.
Right. Amen.
The Bible says here, suddenly there was a great earthquake. Suddenly the foundations of the prison were shaken. So number one, God's plan was, I'm going to shake the very foundation of this prison.
Yes,
keep going, Claiborne.
And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose.
Hold it right there. Does it take all that? It's the only way God going to get you to do his will. He got to shake your foundation. It's the only way God going to get you to do what he wants to do. Do he have to literally come down in your world and not just shake your tree, shake your roots? Do we have to shake your, don't make him, he don't want to have to do that, but he will if you make him because he loves you that much.
Okay. Amen.
Oh, y'all ain't got that. We do stuff for our children, or we do stuff not for our children, because we understand where that could lead.
Okay, right.
When your child said, can I go to a Karen's party, and you know Karen's parents are kind of party people, and you say no, it seems to them you're just being mean. You're just being hard. You don't want me to have no fun. They don't realize like God realized in our life. No, that's dangerous.
Right.
It's dangerous when you go over there. You're young and you can go over there and you can get yourself in trouble because they are a family without boundaries and we are a family with boundaries.
Right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Don't let God have to shake your foundation because he loves you so much he will. Keep going, bro.
And the keeper of the prison.
No, go fit 26 one more time.
And suddenly,
uh-huh,
there was a great earthquake.
Uh-huh.
So that the foundations of the prison were shaken.
Go ahead.
And immediately all the doors were open.
Wait. God is a precise God.
All right.
If God is after you and I, God gonna get you. Ain't nothing you can do. You can't even escape if you want to escape.
Okay.
God said, I'm going to shake the foundation. Why? Because I want the doors to come open. And it says, see, some of you right now, it said the doors open. And you know prison bars are on the door, right?
Okay.
Some of you, if you got bars on your heart, God know how to get you. But I hope it don't take all that.
Okay. Amen.
But he know how to break down the bars in your life. But maybe breaking down the bars in your life might mean breaking you down a little bit.
All right.
But why do we have to take all that? Look at the text. What did it say, Claiborne?
So the foundation of the prison was shaken.
Uh-huh.
And immediately all the doors were open.
All the doors.
And everyone's bands were loose.
Everyone, listen. Whew. God is a prison shaken savior.
All right. Amen.
Everyone's, first, all the doors were open. y'all ain't got there yet. It's unusual for stuff to happen. It's almost like you have something happen in your house and all the plates aren't broke, but all the cups or glasses are broke.
Okay.
It's strange. Because you'd have this break, everything break. Yeah. See, but our God is a precise God.
Amen.
He said, I want the doors open. Yeah. And, wait a minute. Bands. Uh-huh. Chains. Uh-huh. Didn't say it was loose. He broke all the chains. So not only is he a bar-shaking Savior,
okay,
he's a chain-breaking Savior.
All right. Amen.
And broke all their chains.
Amen.
How can an earthquake be so specific?
Okay.
And tell it don't hurt none of the prisoners.
Okay. Come on.
But it tear the doors apart.
Okay. Come on.
Tear the foundation apart.
Right.
And it break all the chains.
All right. Something.
Oh, church. See, now, so that helps you understand verse 27. It says, and the keeper of the prison awakening out of sleep.
Okay.
See, he missed it. He's sleeping. And not seeing God do his work.
Okay.
See, if he had seen God do his work, he would have been more at awe than he's going to. He's going to be at awe now.
Yeah, right.
But just seeing what's happening, that's how God works.
Right.
Or maybe, God, you're so wise. Who can know thee? Who can know your power? Who can know your understanding? Who can know your heart, Lord? Maybe you put him to sleep.
Okay.
For such a time as this. Because he might not have act right if he would have been weak.
Okay.
So maybe you put him to sleep. Or you can't figure God out.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you put him to sleep. And you're going to tap them at the right time. Oh, my goodness gracious. Look at the text. Look at the text. It says here, and the Bible says here, and the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. Supposing that the prisoners was gone. Because back in the old days, you lose your prisoner, you die. So maybe he waking out of his sleep. Maybe it's God's will, but look at this. And he thought that the prisoners was gone.
All right.
But isn't that common to think? If I'm a jailer, I wake up, the doors are open, the bars are open, everybody bands are loose, and I don't see nobody. Huh. You can naturally go through. They all gone.
Huh. All right.
But these aren't just any people. And God is just not any God.
All right.
I better show y'all something. Watch this. Claymore, read verse 28.
But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here.
Hold it. Now, Paul, I understand you saying do yourself no harm because I'm here.
Okay.
And I understand you saying do yourself no harm because Silas is here. How in the world he keep the rest of these guys? I'm in there with him.
Okay, come on.
And my bands come off.
Come on,
and the doors open.
Come on.
I'm out of there. I'm like, I'll see y'all later. I'm gone. I'm gone.
Uh-huh.
But somehow,
some
way, a holy God moved on the hearts of everybody.
Yes, amen.
And nobody left.
Amen.
Oh, church. Amen. When I read that, I was like, huh? We are all here?
Uh-huh.
But our God, see, somebody said, well, that's a good point. How could that be? Because God knows how, being God, to make you or stop you in your tracks.
All right. Amen. Amen.
He can do that to you. He can, and that's why I'm saying, but don't make it. Why does it take all that?
Yeah. Come on.
Does it take God slamming you and beating you upside the head? Does God got to take everything? Does he got to strip you all the way down before you get your soul saved?
Come on.
I mean, how much does it? It's just not enough to know that he loves you?
Okay.
Is it just, right. It's not enough to know that he cares about you.
All right.
It's not enough to know that he promised he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you.
Right.
No matter what storm you get in your life, he will always be there for you. You can count on his word and his promise. That's not enough.
Come on.
I'm almost done. Look at this text. Watch the text. Watch the text. Here, verse 29. What did it say, Claiborne?
Then he called for a light.
The jailer called for a light.
And sprang in.
Uh-huh.
And came trembling.
Uh-huh.
And fell down before Paul and Silas.
Yes. Yes. This man comes in where he saw caused him to tremble.
All right.
What he saw caused him to fall down.
Yes.
And realize this is bigger than these guys.
All right.
This is strange stuff. This is powerful stuff. If it's for no more reason than they still there.
All right. Okay.
I'm sure as a jailer, he never seen nothing like that before. Wow, y'all still here.
Right.
I heard about what happened. Y'all was preaching that man named Jesus. And I heard they beat y'all and they told me put y'all all the way inside the prison.
Yeah.
Why are y'all still here? Something special about y'all.
Yeah.
Something, y'all got some, y'all got God on y'all side.
Uh-huh.
How do you know he fucked like that? Because the next verse says what, Claiborne?
And brought them out
uh-huh.
and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
There it is. I told you. He said, y'all got a word.
All right.
Y'all got an answer.
Amen.
Y'all got something I need. Y'all got something that can save my life.
All right.
What must I do to be saved? So we know what it took for him.
Amen.
It took the whole prison to be shaken just for him to say those words.
All right.
What does it take for you? What does God have to do to get you to stand up,
mm-hmm.
surrender your life,
right.
realizing that your life is out of control,
okay.
that the things you want to do, you cannot do, and the things that you ought to do, you don't know how to do.
All right. Amen.
What does it take to make you say, Lord, I need your guidance, I need your help, I need your strength, I need your salvation, I need your power?
Amen.
What does it take? Because I say that it shouldn't take nothing but a word from God to tell you I love you and I want to save your soul.
Right.
Claiborne, finish reading. Watch this.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ
uh-huh.
and thou shalt be saved
uh-huh.
and thy house.
Look at that. Sir, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I got good news for you. It ain't even just about you.
All right.
My God told me that he can save you and your household.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How y'all read that? That's how I read it. When God blesses you, he can bless everything around you. That's my God. When my wife walked in the house with that check, that was half my check. That's God. Aaron got some money off of that check.
All right, amen.
Some of the big kids got some money. I was broke. Some of the big kids got a little cut off of that check. Why? Because when somebody is blessed,
all right.
That's how God is. When you let me break it down like this. That's why God says that the believer sanctifies his whole house.
All right. Okay.
Y'all ever read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7?
Yeah.
That the believer sanctifies. You're a believer. You married to an unbeliever. You got the power to sanctify your whole house.
Okay.
Huh. Somebody said, well, how, Brother Bethia? Turn your house into a Christian home.
Okay. Amen.
Take that painting off the wall of stuff that shouldn't be on the wall.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And put something on the wall
uh-huh.
that has scripture on it.
Okay.
Take that thing that is in the dining room on the table that shouldn't be on the table and put something on there that shows that this is a Christian home.
Okay. Amen.
Take the stuff out there. Go get all the stuff that you know that God would not be. Go in the refrigerator.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
You know.
Amen.
Pour that stuff out.
Yeah.
and put stuff in it that amplifies God. Especially, I'm about to close, but I'm throwing a shout out to the young, especially young adults. Okay. Young adults, the Church of Christ is a non-alcoholic church.
All right, bro.
Okay. Well.
I saw some people sit up like this. That's right. We don't do wine coolers.
Okay.
We don't do Thunderbird. We don't do vodka. We don't go out to dinner and get some that dinner wine. You know, can we keep another one? Keep another one? It's only dinner wine. Lord have mercy. Maybe I'll do a separate sermon on all that. That's right. Well, I think I will.
Amen.
That 32. I'm almost at 32. What did it say?
And they spake unto him
the
word of the Lord
and
to all that were in his house.
They gave him the word. They gave everybody around him the word. Because, like I said, it don't just affect you. It affects the whole house.
Yes, sir.
Keep going.
And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway.
That's it. He went, cleaned the apostles up. The apostles went and baptized them and baptized his whole house.
Yes, sir.
Not only is he saved, but the whole house is saved.
Yes, sir.
What makes the whole house want to be saved? Because the story he told them about that prison. See, when you are a person who are as God's, who understand God's way, you can tell your story and get somebody to obey the gospel.
Yeah.
Stop saying I can't evangelize and I can't help nobody because I don't know as much as a Brother Bethea and Brother Claiborne and Brother Frazier and all these other people. You got a story.
Amen.
All right.
Tell your story.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Tell them you was all messed up.
Yes, sir.
Tell them you stayed broke.
Amen. Amen.
Tell them nothing was happening right. All of a sudden you heard of somebody taught you the gospel. You heard it from the radio. You went, you obeyed the gospel. You're growing. You're learning how to live right. You're learning how to talk right. You're learning how to walk right. And it's making you a better person every day. Amen. Tell them you learned about Jesus Christ. You learned about his forgiving power. You learned about being baptized into Christ. You can be saved and your whole life will change around. So don't tell me you can't tell nobody about the gospel of Christ. Yes, you can. Start by telling your story.
Yes.
Because everybody in here has a story.
Yes, they do.
Last verse, 34.
And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house.
Look at that jailer. That jailer, has he changed? That's a changed jailer. That jailer said, you know what? This is party time. Yeah. Get some meat. Everybody go eat in here tonight. Yeah. Uh-huh. Everybody sit down at the table. This is time for rejoicing. If you've been a Christian so long that you lost your joy, then you need to get back to where you started. If you're a Christian that's been a Christian so long until it's a ritual now, the joy is gone. You don't feel it's like I just got to come at 11 o'clock because I'm expected to come at 11 o'clock. You got to stroke that fire.
Okay.
You got to stroke that fire.
Right.
How? You got to get into your prayer life anew. You got to get into your study life anew. And most of all, what you're going to need is you're going to need to get with somebody to walk with you in your life and help disciple you in your life.
All right.
Amen.
Brother DeShield is over there right now. He wasn't here when I talked about him last time, so I'm going to talk about him right here. Him and I grew strong together. And we grew strong because I began to disciple him and walk with him. And he's growing all fast. And we're going into people's houses. And we're teaching them the gospel. And teaching them the gospel. And I go in supermarket. He wouldn't say to them, I'm talking to the cashier. I'm talking to the meat man. I'm talking to everybody. He looked at me like, you got to talk to everybody, brother. Talk to him. Talking to everybody. Calvin. We had a guy named Calvin Carter. He came. We talked to him. Me and Roddy went back. Go. We talked. We got the cash register. Ron asked you here, brother, now. And we talking to him at the cash register. We talking to him. He laughing. We got a class with you. We talking to the other cash register guy. We talking with him. We walking around. We got our bounce there. We talking about life. We talking about our problems. Yes, we have problems, too. We talking about our problems. We talking about what am I going to do because I don't like my situation at my current job. What I'm going to do. Oh, my children acting up. My children acting up too. What are we going to do? We shared and poured our life together. Yeah. Whenever his fire went down, I stroked him. If my fire went down, he stroked me. And we lived a life and a journey like that. So our fires, when person's fire went down, the other one stroked that person and stroked that person fire and stroked that person fire. So we could be strong teachers of the gospel together.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Because you cannot keep your fire strong all the time by yourself.
Yes, sir. That's right. That's right.
It's a rare person that has that ability to do about. Most of us, if not all of us, need somebody to keep us on fire for the Lord. Many times I call, Deshiel, you ready to go? He said, man, I just got home. Let me eat my, you know, that post office worked me over, man. Let me eat some dinner. I said, go ahead, eat some dinner. I said, but I'm going to give you about 20 minutes. Swallow it, brother. He go in there. He eat his dinner. I'm out there with the car. And I listen. And at that time, I'm driving a hoopty.
Okay.
Thank you. That's right. The hoopty. He jumping my hoopty. Going happy at going out and teaching somebody the gospel.
All right. Amen.
We go out and we teach the gospel. And then guess what else we do? Because let me tell you some more about discipleship. It's not always about doing the Bible, reading the Bible. It's living the Bible.
Amen. All right. Amen.
Yeah, go out and do things. Walk with your disciple around the park sometimes. Yeah. Me and him, we like, what's that called?
Racquetball.
We go over there and racquetball. And let me tell you, and doing stuff like that helps you to come out of your official role and just have some fun.
All right, amen.
Y'all ain't got it. We playing, yes, I gotta go. I gotta go. Listen, we playing racquetball. I'm beating him 11-1. I'm tearing that rascal up. I said, surrender, brother. But he wouldn't surrender. We only going to 15. All of a sudden, 11-1, boom. 11-2, boom. 11-3, boom. 11-4, boom. 11-5, 6, 7, boom. 11-8, boom. I said, I'm gonna smack him upside his head. 11. I can't let him beat me. I'm the teacher. 11-9. 11-10. 11-11. 11-12. 11-13. 13-12. 14-12. And 15-12. I was beat down.
Amen. Amen.
But let me tell you about brothers. Rodney's sitting there like this, and I'm looking at him. I'm gonna see what he had to say. I'm looking at him. He like this. He said, "Bruh, but you was good, man. You was good. You got them first 11 points.
All right.
I ain't know I was gonna do that. I don't know how I did that." I'm like, "Yeah, you lying. I don't know how I did it." But you see the bond that it give us? You see the fellowship that it give us? Wasn't nobody out there cursing or swearing or fighting or wasn't getting angry, none of that. Just genuine discipleship type relationships.
Amen.
So when we go through our storm together, we know how to play together and we know how to cry together. Amen. Get yourself a discipler and get evangelizing and telling the whole world about Jesus Christ.
That's
if
right.
You're here today, what is it going to take for you? What do you need for God to do for you? So let me tell you what God wants to do for you the easy way. Hear God's word, believe God's word, repent of your sin, confess your faith in Christ, and come get yourself baptized into Christ for the remission of your sin. Salvation is as easy as ABC. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's it. That's it. And God will take it from there as you are faithful unto him. So why don't you come do it right now? Don't let God have to break you all the way down. He wants to save your soul right now. So you need to come as we stand and sing the hymn of invitation. You're out there today and maybe you're thinking, I don't want God to have to shake the bars on my heart. And I don't want him to have to crack my foundation. And I don't want to have him to do all the things that I know that he can do because he loves me. I want to just surrender to him of my own free will, simply because he's been so good and so kind and so wonderful. I don't know if there's anybody out there in the audience who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, but if you're out there, I'm talking to you. And I'm telling you that obeying the gospel of Christ will be the best thing you've ever done in your life. I'm telling you, there is nothing like it. Now, I will tell you this. When you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, things ain't going to change instantly. But God's going to give you a strategy, a roadmap. And his roadmap is to study his word and do what his word says. And as you do that, things get better and they get better and they get better. Because God knows what he's talking about. Because God knows what he's doing. And guess what? And there's going to be some stuff he tell you to do. You're going to be hesitant to do it because you really don't want to do it. But I promise you, if you do it, you're going to see God is going to bless that thing. So if you're out there and you're subject to the Savior's invitation, the baptizer's ready, the water's ready, the garments are ready, the angels in heaven are ready to rejoice. Yes. Are you ready to come and surrender your life to God so God can transform your life into a purpose-driven life? Won't you do it right now as we sing one more stanza of this hymn?
Not ashamed.
May God bless you and have a smile upon you.